You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. To the journey. Hello, everybody at home. This is To the Journey.
To the journey.
There we go. That is more like it. All right. I say this every single week, but I mean it every single week because we have a better show than we do the last every week. That means we're getting better. And this show has one of my favorite Star Trek characters, not just in Voyager, but in all of Star Trek.
It's Neelix, and that is... right? It's Neelix.
I thought we were talking the monkey.
Well, we're a little ways away from Neelix and the monkey episode, and don't even think that I'm joking about how we're not going to dedicate an episode all to the monkey and resolutions.
Oh, you're darn right, we're going to.
But no, I'm talking about B'Elanna Torres, the one and only B'Elanna Torres, the half-human, half-Klingon hybrid, half-breed with daddy issues. All of that.
Indeed.
Now, when I first watched Voyager. I mean, actually, you know, B'Elanna is one of the first characters that we see in Caretaker.
Yeah.
We see Tuvok, Chakotay, and B'Elanna. Those are the first three characters that we see. And when I saw her with ridges, I was like, oh! You know, like, is she a Klingon? Is she something else? She's too pale to be a Klingon. And but it just turned out that she was a hybrid, which I think is really fascinating. And it turns out she was a really in-depth, really interesting character with a rich backstory. And I feel like I asked this question the other day on the Star Trek question of the day on Twitter, saying, who was your favorite multicultural? How did I phrase it? I tried to be as PC as possible because you can't really say half-breed anymore.
It's like mudblood in Harry Potter world.
It's exactly like mudblood. Yeah, I think I said multiracial or something like that. Biracial. Yeah.
Combination.
I think I said something like that. Like, what's your favorite multiracial character in Star Trek? And a lot of people said B'Elanna, but most people said Spock because, you know, let's face it, Spock is Star Trek.
Well, he was the original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was there first.
It's hard to follow up the Beatles, you know?
Right, exactly.
That is hard.
But B'Elanna definitely had her own flavor going.
Yeah, so, Char, what did you first think of B'Elanna when you saw Caretaker?
B'Elanna was, and really throughout the whole show, still was one of my favorite characters on Voyager. She had spunk, she was angry, and she was quick to her anger. You know, she got pretty riled up when Janeway wanted to destroy the array because she was fighting. You know, I mean, what do you mean you're going to make the decision to abandon us all out here? What gives you the right to do that? She was the one that questioned that decision, and I really appreciated that about her. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, in the next episode, she's breaking Carrie's nose and throwing things at the door in her quarters. And I just thought, as Lady Q described, she's got spunk.
She does.
I thought that was a perfect name for a perfect term for B'Elanna. Like, she has spunk.
Yeah, feisty. So I really appreciated that about it. Feisty. I can appreciate feistiness, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me too.
She became a big favorite of mine.
Yeah.
Lori, what about you?
I liked her, too, right off the bat. I mean, the very first scene, she was just yelling and screaming right from the get-go. You knew some crap was about to get real when you saw her. I liked her. I really did. And, I mean, just like you said, she broke that guy's nose. What the heck? I mean, really? That's how you're going to handle things? But
that's not the Starfleet way.
That's right. Guess that's what they do in the Maquis.
I really liked that scene in Caretaker. And she wakes up and Harry is right next to her. And she gets all angry, like, pushes and fights everyone and just tries to knock down the door with her fists.
Right. Yeah, that's her first instinct is just to get the hell out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, okay, so we saw Janeway, the headstrong commander who's in control. We see Kes, the kind of the frail pixie, but has wisdom. And then we see B'Elanna, who will just tear crap down if she has to.
That's right, with her bare hands.
Yes, I thought it was a perfect mix of female roles on the show, of positive female role models. And I was so happy that I was like, okay, if you're going to have a female captain, you have to have strong women behind her.
And they did,
and,
definitely.
It was perfect. And I thought that B'Elanna is probably one of the strongest women in Star Trek, next, like, along with Jadzia from Deep Space Nine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Kira.
And Kira, thank you. Thank you. Yes. I almost forgot about Kira. Yeah, like, there's so many... So many women who are known for their beauty in Star Trek, so many women who are known for their smarts, and women who are known for their leadership. And I'm so happy that they put B'Elanna in a real leadership position. And like right off the bat, I was so happy that Chakotay's like, listen, if we're going to be a part of your crew, you have to put us in leadership positions. Not just me. I'm not going to be your token Maquis.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. For everyone who says that Chakotay is a pushover, remember these early days. And I just wish they would have continued a little more, because he got so soft so early.
Oh, but let's talk about the merits first. Let's talk about the merits of that decision. Like, do you think that she, at the time, before we knew B'Elanna, do you think that that was a smart move to put her in the chief engineer position?
Yeah, I certainly think so. I mean, she certainly was qualified. She had the skill. Yeah, she did have a little bit of a temper, and she'd already broken somebody's nose. But, you know, Lieutenant Carey, I'm sorry, he just wasn't going to cut it.
No, he really wasn't. She was more creative than he was right from the get-go.
Remember in Caretaker, Chakotay's ordering her to be creative, and she had to be because she was working with this old and completely overly
bucket of bolts.
Yeah, who knows what she had to do to keep that thing running. So she'd been in a position where she just had to make do with what she had, and that's so appropriate for what Voyager was going to have to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I think you chose the word, you chose your words correctly with creativity. Mm-hmm. Like, she was a creative engineer, and if you go as far back as TOS, Scotty was creative. It wasn't just like,
right.
Now granted, it's all mumbo jumbo, you know, like, you know,
that's right.
in real life, but in the realm of Star Trek, you have to be creative. And Carey was a very competent engineer, and I'm glad they kept him for as long as they did. But it was like, they kind of showed the, like, listen, this is by the book, this is the Starfleet way, like, we gotta do it by the numbers. And B'Elanna's like, no, let's just get it done.
Right.
And I'm glad that she was able to kind of merge the two worlds as she went on. And so I was really happy that they made that choice at the beginning and not further down the line, like in the second season with Geordi.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad that we got it right off the bat. Yeah, because like Chakotay said, you need to put us in leadership positions.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, this isn't going to work.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah, he couldn't be the only one. Sorry, that just would not have worked.
Nobody would have respected them. Nobody would have thought anything of the Maquis. They would have been like, okay, you guys go sit over there. We're going to do all the work.
You're
just kind of taking up space here.
I think Janeway would have had a mutiny on her hands had she not given some Maquis people leadership positions, such as B'Elanna.
And maybe Tuvok's worst case scenario would have come true.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Leather pants and all.
I say yes. The Hercules legendary journey, like, waffle pants that she doesn't wear. She wasn't wearing those. Somebody else. It doesn't matter. Out of all of the holodeck programs that I've seen, I would want to do worst case scenario.
For the outfit?
Maybe, yes. I mean, that's a huge contributing factor.
Because let's face it, leather pants were totally hot.
I look amazing in leather pants.
I bet you do, buddy.
I mean, I can't wear them too long or my legs will die, but I work it while I can.
Dude, okay. I think you've got something for Star Trek Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so who were some other Maquis people in positions of power? It was pretty much just Chakotay and B'Elanna, wasn't it?
For senior staff members, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody else kind of
Because Tom Paris doesn't count.
Yeah, everybody else was a little bit lower down. I mean, you had Seska, you had Suter, yada yada, but they were not elevated in stature like these guys.
What did Seska do? Because I saw her wear gold, and I wasn't sure if she was operations or if she was engineering.
Well, in Parallax, she was wearing blue, so she was in science at one point.
That's right. Wait, okay, so wait.
Wait a minute. Confusion. Okay, she was in blue, in parallax, but then I remember her just with gold.
Yeah. Well, okay, so if she was in blue, clearly she wasn't in medical, so she would have been in the science division. So she must have gotten transferred.
She was reassigned or something. Maybe she didn't like her job. I don't know.
Lori, did you see her in any other episode in blue? Or
that's
do you remember?
The only one that I can recall. She must have made somebody mad and they just gave her the boot.
All right, people, write in if you can remember if Seska was in any episode in blue other than Parallax.
Yes. Yes, please. Those of you who know your trivia way better than we do, tell us.
Okay, so it's either science division, engineering, operations. We just know that she was never in command.
No, she was not.
Speaking of Seska, since we brought her up, I enjoyed the relationship that Seska and B'Elanna had. I liked that they were both Maquis. Mm-hmm. They had the literal inside conversations. They ate with each other. They joked with each other. Yeah. They both were sexually attracted to Chakotay. I just slipped that one in there. I'm sorry.
You know, if we want to get into that, I mean, there was that episode where B'Elanna's making out with Chakotay. We do need to address this
let's save that for the relationship segment. Yeah. But now, instead of talking about that, let's talk about how she was angry at first and mellowed out.
Yeah, because she definitely did. I mean, we were talking first impressions. She had so much anger. She had that spunk, but even by first season's prime factors, she's already kind of giving in to the Starfleet ideal and is conflicted about whether to do what she kind of, like, what her heart wants, which was to steal that technology so she could get everybody home, or live up to her role as an example as a chief engineer and follow the rules.
Yeah.
I felt like that happened a little too fast. I like the dilemma, but I wish she would have struggled with it more.
Lori, what do you think?
Well, I watched the behind-the-scenes DVD thing, special feature with Roxanne Dawson, and she had said the same thing. She wished it had gone on longer, and I agree with her. But she said, and this is a good point to me, she said that she asked the writers about, you know, making her Miss Angry Turtlehead longer, and they said if she was going to have a serious job and be the chief engineer, she couldn't continue to be belligerent and angry. Okay. No one would buy that. So that's why they toned her down.
I can understand that. I didn't know that Roxanne Dawson wanted that to be prolonged as well. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I feel like I'm a big fan of when you have expectations for someone, they will usually rise to the occasion. I mean, you're both teachers. My wife is a teacher. She always feels like if you expect nothing from a kid, that is exactly what they'll give you.
That is what you'll get.
Uh-huh.
And so I felt like B'Elanna was kind of in that position where everyone expected her to fail when she was going through Starfleet Academy and when she was a young kid growing up in a human colony. Everyone expected her to be a misfit. But then Chakotay was able to convince Janeway to put her in a position of power, and she's like, okay, you can do this, don't prove me wrong. And so the turmoil, the inner struggle kind of started for her early because she was given a position of power. I feel like if she was just in engineering and not the chief, we would have seen that belligerence continue for a long time.
Totally. Mm-hmm. You know, she and Seska would have been in cahoots the whole time, creating a lot of chaos and a lot of trouble for Chakotay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chakotay would have probably been in hot water himself, actually, as a result of those two. They're shenanigans.
Oh my gosh, yes. I could even see that even though B'Elanna is extremely loyal, I feel like if she was continued to be mistreated in her life, that she could have easily gone the route of Seska if she didn't get that kind of direction.
Mm. Yeah,
am
certainly.
Am I alone here, or what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, that's a good point. I can totally see that. She's pissed off. She wants to get home, and they're stuck there, and she sees a way to get back at the person who's stranded her somewhere she doesn't want to be. That's perfect.
Yeah, that's very interesting because it shows just how much discipline works for B'Elanna.
Mm-hmm.
She has to follow these Starfleet regulations all of a sudden, and she's given this chance. She knows how important it is that she does not fail, and she rises to the occasion. She meets the high expectations. It does her in really good stead. I find that very interesting compared to what she could be. She could be completely out of control.
Yes. And I always felt like you know, with her being out of control or in control and her softening her personality, or at least her rage, you could tell by the definition of her ridges what stage she was. I don't know if this is some sort of pseudo Klingon DNA thing where, you know, if you're really angry all the time, your ridges are going to get denser, and if you're super mellow, then they're going to get softer. Or maybe it was just the makeup department trying to soften her look. Maybe the latter. But so seriously, like, if you look at Caretaker and you look at Endgame, her ridges are so drastically different.
Yeah,
it's shocking. And
we need to make a side by side comparison.
We should throw that up on the website and, like,
yeah.
And, like, you can seriously see, like, you can see the shadowing on her ridges in the first season. Then you look at the last season, and they're very soft. They're barely there. It's like a mildly deformed human. She can totally get away with it.
Mildly deformed.
That's choice words, because I always kind of felt like when B'Elanna thought of her Klingon half, that's what she felt like. It's,
mm-hmm.
I'm a complete reject because of this stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the source of my problems. And we saw her try and deal with that many times. I mean, mm-hmm. she definitely had some issues going, that's for sure.
Yeah. And so I felt like it was kind of like, I know I make this comparison all the time, but it's like Riker's beard. You know, if you see Riker's beard, it's probably going to be a good episode. And if you see soft ridges, she's probably going to have a more tamer personality.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. She did get much softer throughout the seasons. I think a part of that was due to her relationship with Tom, though.
Mm-hmm.
He leveled her out a little bit, and that was a good thing. That was a good thing, but I still feel that her progression, she could have been angrier for a little bit longer. I understand the rationale. That was really interesting that you brought up, Lori, about living up to the standards of the chief engineer and basically mm-hmm. needing respect in that sense. You can't have a hothead running a position like that. That makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, you know, for dramatic purposes, I would have liked to have seen a little more struggle. So that what they ended up doing, though, with her was kind of interesting in that she went from being this hot-headed, quick-to-anger Klingon to kind of why she is the way that she is. And that's, of course, her backstory.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely had some parental issues.
Very, very rich backstory. I mean, I feel like it seems like a lot of the Klingons that we meet have parental issues.
Maybe Klingon parenting just isn't that good.
Well, like you look at Worf. I mean, he was an orphan raised by humans. You look at Martok. He was, you know, a poor farmer boy from the lowlands. And although those weren't really daddy issues, but.
No, but B'Elanna had daddy issues for sure.
But B'Elanna definitely had daddy issues.
She did.
I mean, she was left by her human father. And left alone to be raised by her Klingon mother, who tried to, quote-unquote, shove Klingon culture down her throat.
Right.
And it's kind of like, I have a lot of friends who say, like, when people ask them, like, are you religious? They go, oh, well, I was raised Catholic.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? It means that they were raised Catholic and they're not Catholic anymore. Because
right.
They,
yeah.
Like their parents were uber Catholic, or they went to a Catholic school and it was just shoved down their throats. And when they became of age, they're like, I want nothing to do with this because I had no choice. And I feel like B'Elanna kind of had that situation.
Right. She was
towards
raised
her own
Klingon
culture. Yeah.
Yeah. She had some burnout.
Oh, well, I was raised Klingon, but
yeah,
I'm not a practicing Klingon anymore.
No.
She'd rather not be anyway. Yeah.
Or just on the high holidays.
Yeah. Maybe occasionally. If she's got a blood oath or something she's got to take care of, fine.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great, Tristan.
Yeah, she was raised by her mother, and her dad left her. Not just her mom, but her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just no more contact with her dad. And so, obviously, that affected her outlook, and it affected her relationships with other people, mainly her husband.
Right. Which
Tom Paris.
Makes sense.
Yeah, B'Elanna always had that fear that one wrong move and he was going to be gone, and he proved time and time again he was going nowhere.
He was in there for the long haul, that's right.
Yeah, that
and
a boy,
I love
Tommy.
That quote that she referenced with him, like when she was pregnant with Maral, she said, like if you think it's hard enough living with one Klingon, soon there's going to be two.
Right.
And that was the exact quote that she overheard her father say.
Right.
Which was a stupid thing for him to say to anyone, even if he didn't know that she was listening. And Tom, unlike her father, stuck to it and said, hey, someday I hope there's three or four.
Yeah.
Which was the right sweet. Answer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Incredibly, incredibly touching.
Yeah.
Yep. He knew just what to say to make her feel better.
Definitely. He did.
I find it really fun that these two misfits made each other whole and kind of healed each other as they went on.
Yeah, and they did. They really did. Mm-hmm. I think that has a lot to do with what makes that relationship work so much. They complement mm-hmm. each other mm-hmm. in just yes. the right places that they need.
Yep.
I think it's definitely my favorite romantic relationship in Star Trek, even more so than Riker and Troy. I'm a huge Riker fan. Like, I'd say that he is my favorite character in Star Trek. But the relationship was just so slow and on again and off again. And then it mm-hmm. was really just, it was too casual. This relationship was dedicated.
Mm-hmm. Right. This feels real.
Yeah, absolutely.
You watched it develop from beginning to end. Well, not really mm-hmm. end, yeah, but from the beginning.
Yeah. We started off with them, basically not even in a relationship, to flirting, mm-hmm. to... I'm attracted to you. I love you. Relationship, engagement, marriage, baby.
Yes.
Thank you.
Full circle. Yeah. No, I absolutely. My favorite relationship with some of my favorite characters. And I felt like just B'Elanna's backstory brought so much to the relationship and to her character that's what helped make this relationship so great, is that her backstory was so rich that it justified these problems that they were having. It made them real. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't mm-hmm. be able to do that with Chakotay because he only had like one episode devoted to his backstory.
Yeah. Indeed. Yes. When they did a B'Elanna story, the writers really did give her really good, rich material. Yes. We learned a mm-hmm. lot about who she was. I only wish that we would have gotten more of it, because I felt as Seven and the Doctor and Janeway kind of took over the show, one of the characters that got brushed over more often than not was, unfortunately, B'Elanna. And if she wasn't brushed over, it was always kind of like a B'Elanna and Tom kind of thing. It wasn't as often as I would have liked that she would have just had something to herself.
Although we did get Barge of the Dead.
We did. I'm not saying they completely excluded later on. It.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I wanted more of Barge of the Dead.
I want more of that. I want more lineage. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And can you think of one bad B'Elanna episode?
No.
I can't.
No.
No.
I was thinking that, too. That's really cool that there's not a downside to her character, really. Not at all.
I can't think of one bad B'Elanna episode, and I can't think about that with any other character. Like, there's bad Tuvok episodes, there's bad Kes, mm-hmm. Neelix, Janeway, Chakotay, Paris.
Harry.
Doctor. Yeah, Harry. Yeah. They all had bad episodes, but I honestly can't think of one bad B'Elanna episode.
No.
Yeah. No, she there won me not. Over very early on with Faces.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, I mean, they kind of held up to that standard from that point forward.
Yeah.
Speaking of Faces, I was watching that episode as a young man, and I was watching it with my sister, who's not that big of a Star Trek fan at all. Actually, she's not a Star Trek fan, but she watched it because my entire family are Star Trek fans. And we were watching Faces, and she's like, wow, she's really plain without her ridges. once you see Roxanne Dawson with ridges, when you see her without, she's just kind of like, oh. You're saying, yes. Like, she's a very attractive woman, a very talented woman, mm-hmm. but you're just like, there's part of me, as a Star Trek fan, kind of going, you should keep the ridges. Those are pretty nice.
Hey, you know what? You're not the only guy that said that. Even on just Trek FM, there's a few who have confessed this before.
Yes, I brought that up with a certain man in mind with the initials GH.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. Because I agree with you. But, okay, so let's, you know, speaking of other characters, let's talk about some other relationships that she had. Like, one of my favorite friendships, besides her, you know, relationship with Tom, but one of my favorite male relationships that she had was Chakotay. I thought that was the kind of relationship where they would do anything for each other. They would lay down in traffic for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I really didn't want that. We make fun of this all the time, but that the dream episode.
Yeah, Persistence of Vision.
Yeah. Is that persistence?
Yeah, that's the one where she's making out with him. It's like her deep, dark secret that the aliens bringing out of her to make her.
And we've talked about this before a lot about how it was really just subconscious. Like she just respects him so much, and like he's an attractive man, and even people who we are just friends with, even though you know we love them subconsciously, like it could be construed into a sexual desire. If Freud was there, you know, that kind of crap.
Yeah, it's very Freudian, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, deep down, you know, I kind of wonder what it'd be like to kiss him, but I'm never going to do it.
Exactly. Right. And nor would I want to, kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. You're not actually going to do it. Have you thought about it? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Right. Even with that justification, I wish it was never there.
Yeah, you could have left that out.
It was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy it when they can make a relationship on TV that's male and female and not make it will they or won't they the entire series.
That is so hard to do.
And you've heard me say before that I hate will they or won't they relationships other than Scully and Mulder.
Right. But then even with Mulder and Scully, once they kind of got together, it was okay.
Shar, do we have to talk about this again? I told you there was multiple reasons why it didn't work after they got together.
I know. We really need to do that bonus X-Files podcast to get this off of your shoulders.
I think we're going to.
I think we have to, man. This is
like
a
commentary episode. Just like our commentary episodes, this is going to be our bonus.
Maybe X-Files. We watch some X-Files.
Maybe.
Okay,
but anyway,
I'm down.
I enjoyed the relationship. I felt like the relationship kind of came to a head in the episode Extreme Risk when she got the news that all the Maquis were wiped out and they were the only ones left, except for a few in jail. Chakotay starts the program. And she's like, no, what are you doing? And he picks her up and literally drags her into the holodeck and says, why are you running this? Why are you staring at our friends dead? And Chakotay is totally the type of friend who would knock you on your butt if you were acting foolish or stupid. And I love that moment. What did you guys think of the Chakotay-B'Elanna relationship?
I like the relationship, but that particular moment right there, I thought he was being a total insensitive jerk, to be honest.
What? No.
Yes.
Why?
That's
tell me why.
So wrong. I mean, she's totally struggling. He's supposed to be the ad hoc ship counselor. Wouldn't he have cared a little bit more about her feelings instead of just shoving it in her face? Just let her talk about it. Just, I don't know. It really bothered me that he did that. I don't know. It just seemed very out of character for him. I don't. Maybe I didn't
yes
see
and
enough
no.
of it.
You seem like you're going back and forth, Shar. What do you
think? Yeah, I really am, because I think we very rarely see that kind of action out of Chakotay. I mean, the other example I can think of is when he punches that Maquis in Learning Curve.
Oh my gosh, yes!
I forget his name, but he doesn't want anything to do with Tuvok.
Dalby.
Thank you.
Jeez, Lori, you're on
spot. Not to be confused
spot.
With Dobby of Harry Potter fame.
I would want to punch Dobby anyway.
Oh, gosh.
You should punch Dobby sometimes. Good gosh. That second movie was painful.
Man.
Anyway.
Laura, you're not on board for punching Dobby, but you're totally on board for punching Darby.
No. I'm punching anybody. I don't know. Yeah, that
okay,
guy
sorry.
Was... All right, go ahead. Anyway.
Sorry, Charlotte. Right. We're going off topic again.
No, it's cool. But anyway, okay. We very rarely see that side out of Chakotay. And I felt kind of like what we saw in Extreme Risk was much more... He hadn't entirely processed what was going on. He was reacting more out of fear, whereas Chakotay is a little more analytical, and he will talk with you about it after he's given it a little bit of a moment to absorb. He didn't do that, and I felt like that little bit, that was a little out of character. He should have done that, especially with his friend, to try and figure out what's going on. I mean, he, of all people, should... probably
understand.
Be more perceptive to what is going on with her and why she'd be doing this, right? So I'm kind of torn on that, but overall speaking, not just this episode, I really liked their friendship. I mean, he was kind of her counsel when she needed help or advice, and You could just kind of tell they had that connection. I mean, they were in the Maquis together. They were going to be old friends.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And he was the one who recruited her, right?
Right.
I believe so.
I think
so.
That's how it went. And there was one moment when, I can't remember the entire story, but she was explaining how she said that Chakotay told her that she hurt him in an emotional way. Like, she did something to disobey him while they were with the Maquis, and he said that she hurt him. Mm-hmm. And she said that that was the worst thing that he could have done. Like, he could have yelled at her, he could have, you know, could have thrown her in a makeshift brig, but he didn't. It was like what we talked about a few episodes ago, where we said, like, I'm not angry.
Yes.
I'm just disappointed. Disappointed.
Yes, exactly. Oh. That thought crossed my mind, too.
Yeah.
Stake in your heart. Oh.
Pretty now, much, she disappointed him.
Today, on the while we're recording, the day that we're recording this, I asked the question on the Star Trek question of the day is, what was your favorite female relationship? I like Dax and Kira or Troy and Beverly. And a lot of people came up with an answer that I didn't really think about, was B'Elanna and Janeway.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I always thought that they had a nice rapport, and I didn't really see it going beyond that. Something happened in Extreme Risk and Barge of the Dead where Janeway got a little maternal with B'Elanna, where in Extreme Risk she knew, because she was neglecting her duties, that something was wrong. And we found out in Barge of the Dead that B'Elanna did see her as a maternal figure, because she kept imagining her calling her Lana and was replacing her with her mother in her mind and things like that. And outside of those two moments, I don't really remember any evidence. What do you guys think about the B'Elanna Janeway relationship?
I kind of felt like there were two layers to their friendship. One was the more maternal thing, where B'Elanna basically looked up to her. And I think a lot of that had to do with simply Janeway giving her that chance to succeed and showing her, hey, look, I can do this. Look at what you have helped me do. You know, kind of, if you've ever had somebody who's really helped you grow as a person and change for the better, I think that's what Janeway was to Torres. But then there's this other level where it's not quite so, like, it's not mom-daughter at all. But it's much more of an even keel, like, peer friendship. Mm-hmm. I genuinely concern about you as a person, not just as an officer or as a subordinate. Mm-hmm. I care about you.
Right. There was a lot of respect between the two of them that I always thought. I mean, I never saw them be buddy-buddy or anything like that, or do anything really together other than what you already said. But you could tell there was a mutual respect.
Yeah, that's a good word, respect.
I really enjoyed how honest B'Elanna always was with Janeway about like engineering things, stuff. Like injuring stuff, you know. And I really liked how I can't remember the exact situation, but Janeway said, like, how long is it going to take? She says, oh, it's going to take 12 hours. And she's like, okay, you have 6. And she goes, no,
really?
Captain, when I say 12 hours, I mean it's going to take 12 hours.
She pulled a Geordi, not a Scotty. Yeah,
exactly. I love that, because that's exactly what they were referencing. Mm-hmm. They were referencing Scotty, you know, pretending that he was a miracle maker. Now, he is a miracle maker, but he always said, he's like, you have to times things by 3 at least.
Exactly.
Nice accent. Lovely.
Oh, I don't think I really pulled out the... you'll know when I pull out the Scottish accent.
Okay. All right.
But I always really enjoyed that, and I thought she was one of the best engineers out there. And we have been lucky throughout Star Trek to get some amazing engineers. Now, we've had some good doctors and we had some bad doctors. We've had some good security chiefs and we had some bad security chiefs. But I feel like we've had some amazing engineers, and it's quite a really talented pool to pick from. But I think she's one of the top. All right, so how do you guys think about her mixing with the likes of Scotty and Geordi and O'Brien and Tripp and all of them? Where do you think that she ranks in your mind?
She's right up there with them. I think you could probably take her off Voyager and put her on any ship and she would be fine. I think she could really do the job.
Yeah, I think she would be a competent engineer, but really she fit the bill for Voyager. And I think this is descriptive of all the engineers on their respective ships. I mean, you've got Scotty. They're kind of doing their five-year mission, facing the unknown, and he's had to innovate. B'Elanna innovates, whereas Geordi has a little more of a safer existence.
Right.
But he's very good for what he does. And O'Brien, on Deep Space Nine, dealing with the Cardassian technology and all that, I felt like he was the perfect guy for that job. And of anybody to go on Voyager, they needed somebody like her. As we said earlier, creative. That's exactly what they would need, certainly at some of the more hairy times in the episodes. So she was pretty much a genius for what she was needed to be.
I feel like if you plucked her out of Voyager and put her in another show, I feel like the only show that she could really mix well in would be Deep Space Nine. Because if you look at the challenges that O'Brien faced with trying to merge Starfleet technology and Cardassian technology, and how I had to work on a shoestring budget, I feel like Torres could probably do that job as well. But I mean, everything you said was perfect about how every engineer fit perfectly in their situation. Now, you can't say that about every character. You can't say every doctor fit perfectly in their situation, because I don't think that's true. But every engineer did. And she is right up there with Scotty in my mind. And I feel like we just had such a treat with her in Voyager. Not only was she one of the best engineers ever in all of the shows, she was one of the best characters, the most fleshed out, the most compassionate, the most passionate. And she gave us some of the best relationships and friendships, and just a stunning actress with amazing talent, and who became a phenomenal director and stuck with the Star Trek legacy as we move on into Enterprise. I just think that it was such a treat to get Roxanne Dawson for B'Elanna, because I don't think anybody else could have done it. And this character helped define the entire show.
Absolutely. Roxanne Dawson is an incredible talent. I feel like she's often underrated or overlooked as to how much she really did give to Star Trek.
All right, well, that wraps us up on the great and one and only B'Elanna Torres. And if you want to know more about her backstory and her possible future, there are always the novels and audiobooks.
Darn right!
Like Pathways.
Drink!
Really? Take a drink, everybody!
Yay!
But no, seriously. Like, you get some great backstory with in Pathways with B'Elanna, and you get some more, you know, possible future with B'Elanna and her relationship with Tom and her relationship with her mother. That's right, her mother. Maybe again, she's not really dead in the episode Homecoming. It's a fantastically written novel, and it focuses a lot on B'Elanna and a lot on other characters, too. And you guys should really check it out. To the Journey recommends it.
And, absolutely.
Yes.
Now, another thing that I can recommend is listening to us next week, because I am super excited about next week, because we are going to talk about what if, and that is one of my favorite questions, is what if. What if the Voyager crew got the movie that they deserved?
Darn right.
Because let's face it, they deserved a movie, and they didn't get one. Now, it could be anything. It could have been while the show was going on. It could have been in season 3, could have been in season 7, could have been when they got home, could have been decades after they got home. Who knows? So we're all going to have our own viewpoint, and I cannot wait to discuss it with you guys. And also, if you'd like to discuss things with us, please go to trek.fm/contact. There you can write us an email, tell us what you think about the show, give us some ideas and topics, and you can find us on iTunes. Please give us a 5-star rating and a review. Let us know how we're doing. Until next week, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!